May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our freedom. Amen. Amen. So our first reading this morning from Isaiah has some of the most beautiful imagery that I find in Scripture. All of the bears and calves and children hanging out together, and all the images of tremendous peace and lack of violence. And that beautiful line, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And then we move into our gospel for the morning, which the gospel, the word means the good news. And earlier today at the 8:15, Nora was having difficulty with her mic, and I thought maybe we could just leave it off because nobody wants to hear this morning's gospel reading. This is John the Baptist being a wet blanket, calling us a brood of vipers, and talking about his winnowing fork, Jesus' winnowing fork, that is, not John the Baptist, and the chaff, and burning with unquenchable fire. So I go from feeling a place of expansiveness and peace and connection to the universe and hope to feeling small and shamed and scared and a little bit hopeless. So how do we live with both of these narratives? Even if textually they're saying something consistent about judgment and the healing of the earth, what do they say that's consistent about our experience of life with the Holy One, about how we're supposed to live and how we might dare to imagine God? I listened to a podcast called Everything Happens. I recommend it to you if you haven't heard it. It's actually called Everything Happens for a Reason, but the for a reason part is crossed out. It's that experience, I think, as we all kind of grow and have different experiences, that it's not necessarily imaginable that everything happens for a reason, even if God is able to develop a sense of purpose and growth out of all kinds of situations. But what she does on this podcast, the host interviews people who have had to really face their lives and find a new way to live due to some kind of adversity or situational change, whatever. They're very interesting interviews, how to live your life without hiding from it. And she interviewed in one of these Kelly Corrigan. She's an author, and she had just been, Kelly had been just writing her short stories and children's books and going on along in her life. And then her dad and a close friend of hers, of Kelly's, died in very short order, right near one another. And it just rocked Kelly's world. And she felt she wanted to live differently, more purposefully somehow, and that she was going to try to claim her life more, because life is short. But she became frustrated, because as much as she tried to be more grateful and more present, she'd wanted to feel the experience of our Isaiah text kind of inside herself all the time, because she'd suffered a lot of loss. She knew the stakes. And despite all of her efforts, she continued to be a human person who got frustrated in traffic like everybody else. So she, at her place of work, they had a meditation teacher, and she went to see this meditation teacher and to talk about this frustration. And she shared, I'm sometimes in this place with clarity and insight and gratitude, and I'm on the right frequency, and then on a dime, I can slip into, she calls them, mundane irritants, and I'm frustrated and I'm angry, and then the deeper amplitude feelings of grief and sadness and loss. And this meditation teacher, who she describes as very small and calm and peaceful, and I imagine this teacher as like the Lindsay of this workplace. Just very wise, and you feel like it might all be okay. This meditation teacher heard what she was saying and her frustration and just nodded and said, "Oh, it's like this." And Kelly, as she reports, she said she heard those words, "It's like this," and they just settled in her like a song lyric or like a salve on a wound. It's just like this. Nothing she was experiencing was a flaw in her. And she started to carry that phrase with her into the moments of her life. So as applied to our scriptures today, when we hear those readings, there's a diversity of feelings and thoughts and awakenings and resistances that are aroused in us by those texts. And there will be no resolution on this side of death. Our life and our relationship with the holy is just like this. There will be experiences of being at peace in the meadows of Isaiah, or of being challenged or criticized by John the Baptist and cast into fear and doubt. It's like this. This is what it is to be alive. So I've been experimenting with introducing those words into moments in my own mind, and when I just say it to myself, it's like this. I can feel the judgment lift, judgment that things should be different or I should be. It's just like this. And I almost feel this reassurance, like, oh, I'm doing my job. I'm doing the job of being human. It's just like this, and there's no problem to be solved, that you experience the full range of what it is to be alive. For the avoidance of doubt, this is not the same as passive acceptance of injustice or indifference to the suffering of people who are marginalized. It's not a phrase that is an excuse for ongoing cruelties or structures of sin, but Jesus calls us to transform. And we know this. That work is a different dimension of this conversation. But for this moment in Advent, the words, "it's like this," are an internal gift to reduce the friction between ourselves and our experience of our lives. It's like this. Part of the story of the incarnation that's coming to us in short order is that God knows in detail that life is like this. And God knows this because in Jesus, God did this. Jesus experienced peace and struggle and celebration and grief, and even Jesus experienced feeling in alignment with God and feeling a little bit out of phase, having some questions. It's different in that Jesus didn't sin, because he couldn't turn. I mean, there's no way for Jesus to turn away from God. Jesus is in the Trinity. It's like a hardwire situation. But we watch him, through the Gospels, participate fully in what it is to lead a human life. Jesus struggled. Jesus wept. I guess we don't know if Jesus laughed, but Jesus is funny in some of the scriptures. And he had friends. That shows up more than once. He lived a human life, and our human lives are not for the faint of heart. We make our plans, but we all know there's almost nothing we can control. Nothing we do lasts, and nothing we do can guarantee a permanent positive outcome. That is all in God's wheelhouse. But look at us. Even knowing we can't control anything, and we can't extend our own lives by even one day, we not only continue to do the work of being alive, not just for ourselves, but trying to make other people be more alive in their own selves. We donate time, we donate money, we gift our attention, our kindness, our activism. You cannot stop us from falling in love or from working for positive change. And you can't stop us from celebrating, even in the face of assorted catastrophes, whether imminent or distant. On balance, as a people, we just don't care enough to be stopped. We know we can't control things, and we know our own lives will end. We know all these things, but meanwhile, there are lives to be led, and there are people and pets to love. There are tears to be shed, and there is work to be done, and there are good times to be had. And there is something about this life, the way we do it, that even God lived this way for a season as one of us. May that part of the Christian story never get boring. God took on flesh and lived a human life from cradle to grave. God did this not as a stunt or as a reproach, but as a blessing. In our story, Jesus living as one of us, Jesus experiencing that it is like this, is a necessary part of salvation and the healing of all that is. So I'll offer that phrase, "it's like this," as an Advent gift. Maybe during the holiday season it will be useful to you. This is a season where expectations and reality and the past and the present are often colliding and in conversation. You can bring "it's like this" into a difficult moment, or into a beautiful one that you just want to pause and absorb. Maybe if it's helpful to you, you could imagine yourself and Jesus feeling and experiencing this same range of emotion and thought together. Like, together. Oh, it's like this. From this point, the incarnation until Good Friday, we really focus on the human life of Jesus. Maybe this phrase can be a way to receive your own life in all of its rest and glory as a gift. This life, like this, is the location of grace. So I'll end with a short reading from Kelly's book. It's like this. Minds don't rest. They reel and wander and fixate and roll back and reconsider. Because it's like this, having a mind. Hearts don't idle. They swell and constrict and break and forgive and behold. Because it's like this, having a heart. Lives don't last. They thrill and confound and circle and overflow and disappear. Because it's like this, having a life. Amen.